Wake up in the house of the Lord. Some folks are awake. Praise Jesus. Somebody's awake in the house. We are so thankful you are here. Hope that your clocks moved forward. Wasn't that a big deal back in the day? Right? This time of year? Like, do we have to keep changing the clock? Is that not something that we have to? Exactly. I know. My cows woke up too early. They're confused. And my chickens. Candlelight. I'm just kidding. I don't know what it is. I'm so thankful we get to be in the house of the Lord today, though, as we continue our series, How to Thrive in Christ. And we're in the book of 1 Corinthians. And I know all of your smiling faces. Maybe you've got a smiling face online. Maybe your frown. Let's turn that frown upside down and cheer up, buttercup. Let's have a good day today. Wherever we're going through, we all have stomach. I think we're all dealing with some stomach things and some coughing and some craziness. So I just pray that those who are sick, we prayed for you this morning. We hope that you feel better. And we hope that we get to see your smiling face next week. So help me out here right now. You got to let two people know because only two people are in this one, okay? There's a place for you and me in God's family. There's a place for you and me in God's family. There's a place for you and me in God's family. There's a place for you and me and God's family. And that's kind of the perspective we're going to have as we continue. See, exactly. There's a place. There's not really for, but there's a place. Yeah, there's a place. There's a place. There's a place and a space. God has made room for us in his family through Christ Jesus. Everything that we just worshiped about. And that's kind of the perspective we're going to have as we continue our series, How to Thrive in Christ in 1 Corinthians. And just to catch you up really quickly, wherever you are, the reason we're going through 1 Corinthians is the Corinthian culture is very similar, if not exactly like ours. Everybody is saying, you live by your truth, I'll live by mine. And the problem is the Corinthians, as we learned last week, they're continuing to try to live in the truth of the crowd instead of living in the truth of Christ that is found in the arena. And so as Paul is continuing to paint this picture and help them, today he's going to continue in 1 Corinthians 4. As I kind of shared last week over these next few weeks, it's kind of hard-hitting, but he really just brings it home today. So my prayer has been this week, that we are challenged in the Lord, but also that we carry this forward in hope. Because if we don't have hope in this, then what are we even doing, right? Okay, nobody cares. Lord, they don't want no hope. Lord, they want dope. They don't want hope. So I don't know what it is. So wherever they are right now, we're going to have hope in the Lord. So that's what we're going to talk about and dive into today. And fools for Christ. Fools for Christ. If you know anything about me, sometimes we have catchy titles, but most of the time, I just pull it straight from Scripture. You're welcome. If you ever want to know, you're going to hear these words in the Scripture today. I think that's a pretty good thing, is to bring the Word of God and say that that's the title of what he wants to share. So that being said, that's kind of what Paul is going to have for us. So I'm going to shock you with a question today. How many of us have ever been to a sporting event and don't know who's pulling for who? Not many. The refs usually is who we don't know, right? There's a few, but most of the time, the vast majority of people, you know who's pulling for who. And this is what Paul is going to get with the Corinthians with, is because they're trying to be undercover Christians. They're still trying to fight in the crowd and be in the crowd, and they got their Christian t-shirt on, but it's like hidden all the way up. You know, it's hidden in there. Like, they're like, hey, I'm going to be comfortable in the crowd on the front row. Like, I'm close to the action. I'm as close as I can be to the arena without being in it. And that's where the Corinthians are sitting, and they've been in their pride, and he's been trying to talk to them about their immaturity, talk to them about their pride, and that's where he's going to hit home today as we continue talking about being fools for Christ and what the world will say for us and to us. And as I shared last week, this has been something I wrestled with, and sharing the Lord, I'll be real with you, we're going to get to a moment. I wept a couple of times because I'm just going to be real with you. We're going to read this today, and if some of the things that are, if we made that the qualification for being a Christian, I've never met one. Praise God, it's not. Praise God, the only qualification we have for being a Christian is faith in Jesus Christ by God's grace, right? That's how we get to be justified. And you're going to see what I'm talking about. Paul is going to have this kind of condescending, using the Corinthians' words against them. And this is why I said I wrestled with it, but it's something we all need, and it'll make sense at the end. So if you got your Bible today, let's get to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 again. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, as always, we have one located in the garden. Sign up for something for breakfast. Cross out somebody's name. If you don't like what they're bringing, you bring it. Do whatever you got to do. But go pick up your Bible over there. If you're like most people in the world we live in today, you do things digitally. As always, Jeremy mentioned it earlier during our welcome. You can follow along with us on the Vine Church app. It's free in your favorite app store, thevine.tv/app. And every week we talk about how we get to set up and tear down and how everything makes everything, how every one of us as a church makes everything possible. And I'm thankful that Zach Candler, he's hiding up. He's closer to the throne of the Lord than we are today. He's really, really up there. He's closer to the rapture than we are because he's way up top. So wherever he is up there, and he makes sure wherever you're watching around the world throughout the week, the scripture is on the screen for you and for your smiling face. So as we say every week, and I hope and pray that God's people respond, if you're in 1 Corinthians 4, give me an amen.
Amen.
Yes, we got to have that. You got to have that one in the just,
amen.
You know, you got to have that one in the house. So amen, this is God's people saying they want truth. We're going to pick up really quick where we left off last week. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 9 through 13. We're going to leave it on the screen. We're going to hang in 9 for just a second, and then we're going to keep rolling to 10 to 13. And it says this in verse 9. For it seems to me that God has put apostles on display at the end of the procession, like those condemned to die in the arena. We have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as human beings. Just really quickly, but we'll leave this up here because we're going to keep going really quickly. Paul's just reminding them, we're either in the crowd or we're in the arena. Those in the crowd are destined to die and don't know it, and they're criticizing everyone who are in the arena following Christ Jesus for a worthy cause. There is no in-between. You are one or the other. As Jesus says in Matthew 25, you're either the sheep in the arena or you're the goats in the crowd. There is no in-between. And so Paul is about to address them and say, hey, you are walking in something that you're not understanding and being a Christian in your immaturity. You're walking in this thing called pride. And I heard it growing up, and Joel Candler shares this a lot, so I would say this, but the problem with pride is the letter in the middle. It's all about me. Now, this is something Jesus always has taught me. That's also the problem with sin, is the letter in the middle. It's about me. And when we're in our pride and it's about me, which is where the Corinthians are, they're struggling to follow the Lord, and they're caught up in pride. And Paul is saying, hey, to follow the Lord, you got to be humble. I said it with an H. Humble. I grew up, it was always humble. Well, I don't go to Houston and I ain't hungry. I'm hungry and it's Houston. So it's humble. He's saying walk in humility. And that takes surrender and sacrifice. Because pride in our life derails us. It takes this narcissistic disaster that we are and propels us toward eternal death. Yet in Christ Jesus, through surrender, we can have life. He's going to go on, and wherever you are, the reason I wanted to take a pause, we're going to get to 10 to 13. If you're taking notes on a piece of paper, draw a little line. Mentally, you can do that. Most of you are smart enough to do that. I'm not, so if I had to do it, I'd have to draw a line. And I want you to think and write this down. On one side of the line, I want you to put everything after Paul says we in verse 10 through 13. Y'all all went to the Wii universe and Nintendo. I know, it's okay. And then do you and everything he's going to write under you. Now understand, Paul is doing this in a condescending tone, and we're going to see what that looks like. Here we go. In verse 10, it says this. We are, the title of the message, fools for Christ. For you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored, we are dishonored. To this very hour, we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags. We are brutally treated. We are homeless. We work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. We have become the scum of the earth, the garbage of the world, right up to this moment. Let me ask you something. There are three things it says under you if you're taking and thinking about where you are. It says you are wise in Christ, you are strong, and you are honored. And literally everything under we doesn't sound like something we would sign up for, right? Like if I'm following Jesus and I want to hear about Jesus, I want the you. I'm wise in Christ, I'm strong, and most of all, I'm honored. But dishonored, weak, scum of the earth, garbage? Man, I don't want to sign up for that. This is what led me weeping this week for us all. Because if that's the requirement of following Christ, I don't know if I've met a Christian, myself included. Weak, dishonored, homeless, hungry, thirsty, rags, brutally treated. Maybe we work hard with our hands, but when we are cursed, we bless. No, oftentimes we curse back. When we are persecuted, we endure it. Slandered, we answer kindly. I don't know if I would sign up for that. Would you? Honestly. Yet we know, as Paul is about to say, is that's what the arena is all about. See, Jesus has defeated all of this. But you see, the Corinthians, in their pride, they're trying to put on the mask of honor, the mask of wisdom in the Lord, and they have no deep-rooted faith. They're putting on the mask of saying they're strong and not understanding that Christ's strength is shown best in our weakness. And this is what Paul is hammering home. Paul is saying for each and every one of us, we have to step outside of the crowd. See, the world is about upward mobility, isn't it? Climbing the corporate ladder. That's what you got to do. Some people will leave dead bodies, a trail of dead bodies, on their way up the ladder. But Jesus says it's a different way. You've got to step down into the arena. And that's backwards to us. Right? Like, I've got to get down and serve somebody to be lifted up. No, but you don't understand. I work this hard. I do all this. Like, I've blessed the work of my hands, Lord. What do you mean I got to get on my knees and serve? I got to wash feet? What? And in God's economy, isn't that what he calls us to do? That's what Christ did for us as we get ready for the Easter season. Think about that for each and every one of us. So this is where I said I wept. Praise Jesus. These aren't the requirements that we had to go through to have salvation. Praise the Lord. We're all clothed in his house. It may be warm, but we aren't naked. We aren't homeless. We ain't hungry. We got zero calorie stuff over there. Praise the Lord that it's only through faith in Christ. Yet what happens is the Corinthians are just like the crowd saying this about all of those in the arena. Let me read something to you really quick. It's not going to be on your screen. I was going to say it's homework, but if my little eyes can spy it, I want to read you something real quick. Paul's going to give the example that he's living it. If you want to look at it, it's 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24 to 28. Let me tell you what Paul went through. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and I have toiled and I have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. I don't know about you, but I hadn't got stoned recently. Don't get excited. It's legal. And so I'm not talking about like that. I'm being like, when you got stoned back in the day, like, I don't know about you. I never heard anybody say, hey, they were just stoned. There's always something, the two words that followed it. They were stoned to death. Paul was literally left from dead multiple times. We ain't even talking about Malta when the snake got up on him. Like, we ain't talking about any of that stuff. What he is trying to say, and we're going to see this in a moment, is it's going to require sacrifice to follow the Lord. And that's not something we're wired to do naturally in and of ourselves. And so the question is, why in the world would you and I go into the arena? Because maybe today we find ourselves on the we side of that equation. Why in the world would we do it? Especially if this is what we're walking through. Because I will promise you, as a Christian, you're going to go through one of those things in the arena. And the first thing I want you to know is God is most glorified in you when you are most satisfied in him. Just really quickly, God is most glorified when you are most satisfied in him. In other words, Christ being your ultimate treasure is what it's all about. What happens is in the crowd, in the comfort of the crowd, they think Christ is glorified in their status and in what they look like. Paul is telling them we can be satisfied in Christ in all seasons. So I think about this for you and I. We think we can be satisfied in Christ if we have a prominent position, if we are healthy, if we're good looking, if we have, you know, whatever it is, 2 kids and 1.5 dogs. I don't know. Whatever it is the American standard is now, we think that's what it's supposed to be. And that's what's given way to the prosperity gospel and the health and wealth gospel. And that's just, I'm just telling you, it doesn't mean you can't be healthy in the spirit, but sometimes the motives of that are absolutely wrong. Think of it this way. If I rolled in like Ric Flair today, jet flying, limousine riding, kiss stealing, I can't say that one. But anyways, wheeling, dealing, Rolex wearing, can't keep my gaiters down, would the first thing you say about me As man, his joy is found in Jesus. Now, my joy might be found in Jesus. And when I step out of that limo, you might hear me proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth. But the problem is the world sees the temporary. There's no, now hear me out. We're going to talk about that. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. Don't get me wrong. You can do that as a Christian. But the problem is, you know what the world's going to say? Did Jesus give you all that? Man, sign me up. Do I just got to sign up for breakfast? Is that something I like? How long's the contract? What's the term? Can I switch out a new phone every 2 years? Like, what do I got to get that? Is this what Jesus gives you? Because I want that. If we're not careful, we lead people the wrong way. Because every one of our Christian walks, how many of us have experienced a trial? All of us. How many of us experienced times where we thought God forgot us? Every time. And if you're in the health and wealth and prosperity gospel, when the economy turns, when the job goes, the relationship is broken, you're going to be mad at God and you're going to turn away from him. So this is what Paul is trying to hammer into the Corinthians, is we have to make sure when we're in the arena that we are pointing to Christ as our ultimate treasure. Now hear me out when I said there's nothing wrong with Christians having nice things. I don't stand up here. If you have nice things, there's nothing wrong with that. We just have to be sure that we let everyone know that it's a blessing from God because Christ is our ultimate treasure. Where we mess that up is when we don't do that, right? As we forget he's our ultimate treasure. We bless those we love because we love them, but Jesus even said himself that we are not perfect, that the Father above gives the best gifts, right? And that's what we have to remind everyone of is, hey, I get this. This is a blessing from the Lord. It's not anything I've done. It's because he's blessed me. But let me tell you about the greater blessing that is Christ Jesus. I look at this today and I think about where the church is around the world. I think of Operation Christmas Child. It's going to come up really quickly. Not too far down the road because it'll be Christmas soon and why we do it. But when I look at the state of the church in America, I believe we have an opportunity for revival as always. But it's no coincidence what Paul just listed and what I just read you in 2 Corinthians is true, that the most persecuted churches around the world are the ones thriving. The underground church in China, in Middle East, everywhere, where you literally get your head chopped off if you confess Jesus as Lord. If you go into places like India, where your entire family rejects you if you trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Like, imagine that. You literally will have your last goodbye, period. You're shunned. And they thrive. And is it because they're prosperous? Is it because they're wealthy? No. They're in mud huts meeting together. And yet the Lord has blessed us. And so we have to make sure as this blessing that we get to continue to bless others. That's why we celebrate every Sunday how our sowers give of their time, their talent, their treasure. It's not just about us. It's about the gospel getting to the ends of the earth. That's why we do Operation Christmas Child. Those kids, like, we don't think about this. Like I said, there's nothing wrong with blessing our loved ones with good things. Those kids literally play with an old bicycle tire and a stick. If our smartphones cut off or our social media goes out for just a minute, we are losing our mind. If our kids' television show goes off on the iPad, like that's in the car on the way home, that's it. You are praying for the rapture. You are letting them know if the rapture don't come, you're going to send them to Jesus. Like, that's how we live. There's nothing wrong with that. We are blessed. We are tremendously blessed. But we got to remember, and this is what Paul is hammering in, that Christ is the treasure we seek. Even when we are weak, even when we are powerless, even when we are hungry, and when we are naked, when we are homeless, when we are thirsty, when we've been stoned, when we've been beaten multiple times, we've been kicked out, when we've been rejected by our family, Jesus is still what we seek. Not only is God most glorified in that, in our weakness, the hardest thing to accept with this in the arena is this, is that it's good for you. It's good for you. What? You mean I have to go down there like Maximus? That's good for me? That's good for me, but I'm going to die in there. Yes, so is the crowd. Jesus requires us to die to ourselves every day. This isn't something that's new. We should be used to that. That's what being in the arena is all about. Paul's going to unpack that more in a moment. If you go to a psychologist or you've ever been to a psychiatrist, oftentimes too as well, they will tell you there is no such thing as an unmitigated good. You say, what in the world does that mean? It means eventually every good you seek in this world will have diminishing returns and it cannot satisfy. We understand that in biblical terms. Think about this. These cool little tools we have. A smartphone. I'm not dissing it. There's nothing wrong with it, so hear me out what I'm trying to say. I want you to think about when these came out. I'm old enough to remember when. Terrible. Getting old now. Get off my lawn. I'm just practicing. I feel better. Yeah, I'm just practicing. I'm just trying to get ready for this. Okay, we're good. This has made us the most connected 8 billion people in all of eternity. Why in the world is suicide up and loneliness greater than it's ever been? Think about this thing. When's the last time we literally put a man on the moon? We can't get him off the space station. My God, we put a man on the moon with an abacus. Like, let's just be real. Whether you think that's fake or not, I encourage you, look through your telescope, and you're going to see Old Glory waving up there. I'm just saying. Anyway, we won't open those conspiracy theories, but I'm saying, think about these smartphones. And they're great tools, but that's what they're supposed to be used for. See, what we've done and what the Corinthians were doing is we have mistaken socialization and community. Social media. Is social media about everyone else? Supposed to be, but it's not. It's about me. It's about me. It's about my post, my likes, my comments, what you see about me. Think about it. How do you rank up in the social media? The more likes, posts, shares. I mean, even when we share our messages on like, the more you get on that, the algorithm pushes you up. It's about me. And we just said, what's the problem with pride? Me. Community's different, though. Community's about someone else. And it requires sacrifice. And that's what we've mistaken. We've forgotten that. We tried to say social media is a community, and it ain't. It's about me. Now, we can make it a community. We can do everything we can to point to others, but you know the reason why somebody sees you in the algorithm? Because somebody liked the Bible verse you shared 15 times. It's not because of your heart behind sharing it. Whereas when we get in community, it's about serving. It's about saying, you matter to me. And about you saying, I matter to you. That's the difference. Jesus didn't die for us to socialize. He died for us to have community. That's what your pastor meant growing up. If you ever grew up in church, and you say, well, the church ain't supposed to be a country club. That's kind of part of what he meant. It's not just about religion. It's not supposed to be a social gathering. It's supposed to be a community building. And we think social media is supposed to do that. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's just the lines have been so blurred. That's what we think it's supposed to be. And it can be used for it. And it can be a tool for it. But it's not really used that way. That's why suicide's up. Think of it this way as well. When we say it's good for you when there is no such thing as an unmitigated good. I go to one of the best prophets of all time, the notorious B.I.G. More money, more problems, right? I mean, we can't open that wound. There's a crazy... Anywho's. More money, more problems. Think about the richest people in the world. Do they want more money or less money? More. Think about the addict. Do they want more or less of that drug of choice? More. That's what the Corinthians are seeking. More of the wrong thing. They want to stay in the old truth instead of walking in the truth of Christ. And see, that is what our heart is naturally made to do, is seek more. It's what we were created to do. That's that God-sized hole inside of us. And we got to be careful if we don't watch out, because the more we're going to seek is the good of the world instead of the good Father that is the Creator God that we have a relationship with through Jesus Christ. So wherever you are right now, I just want to say, maybe you're seeking the unmitigated good. Maybe you're trying to get a law of diminishing returns. I'll put it to you this way. I always laugh when I say this during marriage counseling. You're going to hate each other eventually, but you got to decide who's going to hold this marriage together, Christ or each other. If you're not both seeking Christ, it ain't ever going to work. Because you're going to go to bed thinking that's your enemy and you're not. Remember, you're one. Satan's your enemy trying to break you. But the problem is, eventually that honeymoon breaks off. Oftentimes on the way to the honeymoon. But whatever it is, that breaks up. And you have a decision to make. And what does marriage reflect? Christ's relationship with his church. So here we go. We won't get in there. Whatever you're doing, I just want to say, maybe you're trying to get that unmitigated good, the people in the crowd versus the people in the arena. The people in the crowd are accumulating for themselves. They're trying to move up to the box seats, right? They're moving up the section of the season ticket holder. They're trying to get different spaces and better seats. Whereas the people in the arena are giving it all. They're laying it all down. So we shouldn't be shocked. Jesus said, we ended with it this way last week in John 16, 33. He says, take heart. In this world you will have trial, you will have trouble, but I've overcome it. What Paul is teaching the Corinthians and what he's reminding us of today is we can spend our entire 80 years, that is but a breath on this earth, chasing the good of this world to waste the 80 billion plus to come in eternity. We can sacrifice in community to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ everything in this 80 years for the fullness of the 80 billion plus to come in him. There really is no in between. And so that's why when I said you versus we, it broke me down. Because the question is, would anyone say you're a fool for Christ? Hear it all the time. That the old pastor growing up would always say, the end of your life, if you were on trial for being a Christian, would the evidence point that you were? With what we're reading in the context, would the evidence show that you were in the arena or that you were undercover in the crowd? Because if you were undercover in the crowd, I'm going to be honest with you, you may not be saved. It's not my job to question your salvation, but I'm going to say, Jesus, that there are clearly two. There are sheep in the arena, and there are goats. And the goats had all the right answers. They memorized all the right scripture. They made sure everybody heard them in prayer. They sat in the best positions all of the time. And they're going to bust hell wide open. Paul's going to get down to the point of why he's being hard on everyone right here. I'm writing this not to shame, in verse 14 to 16, I'm writing this not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. This is where it's hard. Imitate me. When I say father, many of us have an image in our mind. If we had a good father, there's a good image. If we didn't, you're like, that's the last person I'm going to imitate. I don't want to imitate my father. Have you seen my father? Do you know what they did to me? Like, I didn't even get to know him. And I will tell you, hey, you all know here. I know that story. I was talking with Jeremy last week about this. Hey, I didn't get to hear dad in the stand say, way to go, son. You know, the Lord took him home. Drunk driver kills him, he takes him home. I didn't get to hear those things. So I had to rely on coaches growing up to hear that manly voice. And before you get upset, it wasn't that I couldn't hear my mother. My mother was doing it, but isn't there just something about a man's voice, a father's voice? And do you know why? Because as a father, you're supposed to reflect our heavenly father. And this is what Paul is saying. Paul is saying right here, hey, for each and every one of you, I want you to know that I'm called to be like your father. In other words, I've got to give an account for each and every one of you in heaven, not for your salvation, not for your next steps in Christ, but whether I pointed you to him to take them. One thing I know about my father is, and you know I've shared this before, is I didn't get to hear those things, but I know he didn't waste his time on earth for nothing. Every story I hear about my father, every time I hear about how I sound like him, I look like him, talk like him, it always points back to Jesus. Everything he does points back to Jesus. There was no question whether he was a fool for Christ or not. He worked in ministry. He had a full-time job on top of it back when bivocational ministry was part of it. I mean, it's just what you did. And yet everything he did pointed to Jesus. And so I know and I have hope, hey, I may not have heard, well done, son, down here, but man, I got 80 plus billion years to hear it. And he's cheering me on right now. And so when we hear this, maybe like I said, for me, like, I could be mad about it. I could be angry at God. Like, that's not fair. This stinks. I could be in the crowd throwing peanuts saying, man, this stinks. Or I can be like, Jesus, I just want to imitate you. See, Paul's saying imitate me because I'm hoping today I don't have to imitate Paul by being stuck at sea and being cold and naked and hungry and thirsty or being bit by a snake or any of that crazy stuff. But Paul is saying Jesus has already gone to the arena for us first. He's already sacrificed for us first. He's already restarted that Windows computer that I just heard right now. Here's the reason that this matters. If you've had a good father in your life, you know a good father knows what it takes for you to thrive. That takes discipline. Sometimes iron's got to sharpen iron. And discipline as a parent isn't something any parent enjoys, is it? We don't get that as a kid. When a parent, when they say, this hurts me more than you, and that belt comes off and just get the, you get your 40 lashings minus one, like you're just like, that's terrible. There's no way it hurts you. I'm the one with a welt. Like, what in the world? Yeah, watch out for the pan. I'm just kidding, whatever that is. Watch out for the chair. But it does. But the reason you discipline your children is you know that this is the only way to help them thrive. This is where Paul is. He's trying to tell the Corinthians the only way for you to thrive is to know you're no longer in the crowd, but in the arena. Because we're either helping others to heaven by pointing to Christ in the arena, or we're helping them to hell by staying in the crowd, mocking those in the arena, making fun of those in the arena. That's why every week we get here, sometimes it seems intense, and you're just like, why? I've heard it before. And I'm thankful that I haven't heard it from any of you in the room, but I have heard it before. Why in the world do you give an invitation every week? Because eternity's at stake. Like, why not? I grew up in a church that did that every week. I don't know how people didn't. I get it. I've heard people say, well, we didn't do that. That was just a personal thing. Like, it was an altar call, and then as you came down, you came down. I grew up always. You always did it. We didn't wait for the preacher to come in the revival. Billy Graham may not come for 3 years. Like, we had invitation all the time. It's that intense. And what that does for you and I, when I say we don't, are we fools for Christ? We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to have it all together. We can say, hey, in the midst of my mess, this is what Jesus has done for me. And this is the message of the cross. And this is why it matters to you. I can go into the arena and face Maximus, and he can chop my head off. It don't matter. Jesus has already defeated it. I don't care. Do whatever you want to do to me. Christ be magnified. And so wherever you are right now, maybe you're in the arena. Maybe there's a next step for you in the arena. Maybe right now there's the Holy Spirit's prompting. And I know this is kind of, I'll do this, we'll have this every week, but this is where I feel I'm supposed to be a father to you to say, what's the Holy Spirit telling you to do? Right now there's something in your head and you're denying it. You're in your head, you're just, I'm just thinking something. It's not go to Krispy Kreme because the hot and now sign's on, all right? I know that's probably what you're thinking or trying to figure out the line at Wade's or doing early check-in at the restaurant. That's not it. Maybe it's forgiving that someone who doesn't deserve it. That person that hurt you. Maybe it's giving to that person that you know is just going to spend it on alcohol and cigarettes. Only if the Lord calls you to do it. Don't do it for yourself. You'll hold them accountable. Maybe you're watching online and you're wondering if there's a church that has space for you. I want to tell you, we put chairs out every week and they're prayed over. There's plenty of seats for you. Now, there's thousands over there. You're missing them. They're over there behind the curtain. They're in the most holy of holies, even though the veil has been torn. But you're going to see smiling faces in the millions that are right here in front of me. Maybe that's your next step. Maybe you're watching online, you're trying to figure out, is there a place that, like, you put requirements on a church. You're saying a church has to have this, 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 and this before I come in. And today the Holy Spirit's saying, let go of that. Take a step into community. Maybe the Lord's calling you to give somewhere else. Give of your dollars here. Because the limousine ride I got coming in, I used the last dollar. I swiped that whole dollar. I'm going to tell you, the card got rejected. I had to use my own money to get in here from the limo today. That's messed up, church. Really, you know that's not what we do here. Maybe you need to be a part of Kingdom Impact, and this is where you can give. Maybe, just maybe, the Lord's telling you to start a ministry, and you're trying to figure out what that looks like, and maybe that's why the Lord's brought you to listen to this. I don't know what that is, but I do know that if you don't tell anybody, it's not going to help, is it? I've shared that I was called into ministry when I was 16, and then craziness happened at church. And for lack of a better term, I ran like hell. I tried to barter with God. I was in the arena, but I was on the outskirts. You know what I mean? Like, I was in the arena, but I knew the lion was going to be over there. Like, you know, everything was there. And I was just like, here's what I'm going to do with Jesus. I'm going to sell tickets. I'm going to be like, back scratch your head. Like, I'm going to do all that. I'm going to be close enough. Family Guy reference. Some of you laugh, some of you don't, but it's okay. I'm going to do as close as I can. I'm actually going to step down on the sands of the arena, but I'm not going to pick up my sword. Because what I just went through, there's no way that anybody could go through that. And so I just didn't tell people for a long time. I go to church, I serve. I just didn't tell people. What was the point? And yet the Holy Spirit just kept breaking me down and breaking me down and breaking me down and breaking me down and breaking me down until finally I was like, I can't fight this anymore. On my knees weeping. I can't. This is what you made me to do, God. Like, he's calling me to pick up my sword. I have to do it. And I don't know about you, but like Noah on that ark, when you hear the cries of desperation of all of those lost souls looking for a Savior that thought they had it all figured out, I don't know how you can't help but pick up your sword and fight and point them to Jesus. So whatever that next step is for you, I pray that you would take it today. Because here's the thing. There's a place for you and me and God's family. Jesus didn't save us just for our chair. I used to love this, Billy Graham. I can't take credit for it. And this is something I always loved growing up, and it is true. And you hear it a lot even today. Do you know how much God loves you? If you were the only sinner in the world and everyone else was perfect, Jesus would have still went to the cross. I don't know about you, but man, that makes me want to shout and pray. You maybe have never had anybody like that in your life that have loved you and believed in you like that. My prayer is that you would see it in this house, because there are people here who love you and believe in you that much. But the only reason we have that is because we first have Christ as our Lord and Savior. I'm not going to belabor the point, but to say Paul is saying for each and every one of us, the reason he is telling the Corinthians to imitate him is Paul was once murdering Christians, and yet he meets Jesus and he imitates Christ, a living a life of sacrifice. I can't remember if it was our Bible wrap reading plan, so forgive me really quickly as we get ready to wrap up. Maybe I heard it on the radio back and forth, but it was a story about Mother Teresa and how every time someone would go see her, they would ask her why her feet were so messed up. And it's because when people donated shoes, she would go in and get the best pair of alligators to wear. She would go in and find the worst pair of shoes to wear so that everyone else had better shoes than her. Mother Teresa. Now, if there's anybody that could justify why she had to have good shoes, don't you think Mother Teresa would be like, hey, Lord, I'm serving you. Like, you know what I mean? Can't I have some good shoes on my feet? But no. That's what living a life of sacrifice is. It isn't a life of nothing. Like, it doesn't mean that you don't go, as Jesus would say, when you fast, you don't go announce to everybody, hey, I'm fasting. No. You look the same, but your heart completely different, because it's one of sacrifice. And why does that matter? Because that's the heart of our Father, our good, good Father, the one that we were created to be in relationship with, the one that can only satisfy us, that is the only good that is not unmitigated. It is the only good that can fulfill for all of eternity. And because of that I in the middle of sin, you and I are separated from him, because we care about me. Like I've said before to parents, you don't have to teach a two-year-old to be selfish. Like, you, one of their first words is going to be, mine. Like, that's just our natural ability. That is what we are created. And because of that, we lead ourselves to the path of destruction, that is eternal separation from God, searching for things that will never satisfy. We may be a good, quote-unquote, person, but we'll never reach the potential of being who we were created to be, because we're separated from God. Instead of leaving us in that state, God said, hey, instead of leaving you in your sin, stepping out of the crowd, thinking that you are going to be saved by yourself, by your works, by your box seats, by your level, your seat level, your booster level. Instead, I'm going to make a way for you to be in relationship with me, to experience the thing that alone can satisfy, by sending my one and only Son, who knows what it is to sacrifice. Famous verse, John 3:16-17, reminds us of that sacrifice. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal or everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God's not angry. God's not trying to abuse you. God's not mad at you. God's standing at the end of the driveway with his arms wide open saying, come home. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, this is why we do what we do every week. And so that those who are in Christ Jesus can be encouraged, even if the Holy Spirit is convicting and disciplining us. But for those who don't know who Christ Jesus is as their Lord and Savior, they would find him for the first time. They would find the eternal satisfaction that is found only in him. And so in doing that, we as a Vine fam pray this prayer of faith out loud. And the words of this prayer aren't going to save you. It's the faith that is involved in it. It is the faith of surrendering your life to Jesus Christ, understanding that in your sin there is no way you can climb the ladder enough, earn your way enough to get to be perfect, to be in right relationship with God. And God loved you and I enough that he sends his one and only Son, Jesus, to live the perfect sinless life you and I couldn't live. Die the death we deserve on the cross, being our eternal atoning sacrifice once and for all. And he defeats death, hell, and the grave for you and I so that we can live and thrive in Christ now. We can be heaven on earth now. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, please repeat this words of this prayer of faith out loud after me for the benefit of those coming to faith for the first time. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day, that I may have life. Take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you, step by step, the rest of my life, the best way I know how. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're in the house or you're online right now, I'm going to ask you to do something bold on the count of three, because you are taking a next step today. You are stepping out of the crowd into the arena, and we want to celebrate this decision with you. So on the count of three, if for the first time you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. If you're online, you can do a raised hand emoji. You're probably going to see a link on there that says thevine.tv/respond. You can shoot us a message all over, inside a website, social media, whatever that takes. We want to celebrate this decision with you because, as we say every week, the only way to thrive in Christ is to be a part of a local church. That's where real community is found, is in the local church. And we want to help you get in contact with a local church near you. I mean, you can come to the Vine every week. If you want to roll in a jet, we ain't going to be mad. We'll make a landing pad for you. We will make it happen. We would love to see your smiling face. But we want to celebrate that with you. And for the rest of us today, I know these past few weeks have been hitting a little hard, and I pray that the Holy Spirit convicts as the Holy Spirit only can. But I pray as we step into this moment of worship, whatever the Holy Spirit has called us to do, instead of rejecting it, we would make room for the Lord because he made room for us. So would you please stand and worship with us?
Make room for you to do whatever you want to.
that you will join us next week. We made room for you. We made room for treats. There's like a whole cake over there we're going to bring back next week. And if you don't show up the next week you do, we're going to cake you in the face if you don't get here with us next week. But really, we hope you're having an awesome week. We'd love to see your smiling face next week as we continue how to thrive in Christ. And hey, if nothing else, you say, I can't make it next week or the week after, get here on March 30th. There's going to be some breakfast here. It's old school church potluck. I promise you, all the flu's going to be baked out of it. So wherever you are, make plans to be here. And always remember, the best is still yet to come.